Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Pony Express.
And I'm coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. On this Mother's Day 2019, going out to dinner with my mother-in-law tonight. Looking forward to it. You know, I try to subscribe to the Make Everyday Mother's Day model, and I do that because there are so many examples in my life where it was probably really, really difficult or hard for my mom to be my mom because of things I did in school or, you know, people I offended because of this job or, you know, just being a teenager and living life in my 20s and caused gray hairs and stress. And so really, I try to do my best on a day like this to, you know, extend Happy Mother's Day and say thank you as many times as I can, because I don't think the words do it justice, but I don't know. I feel like if I say it enough times, it will sink in. So do the same today. Hopefully, if your mother, celebrate either her memory or do something nice for your mom today. 855-212-4CBS is our number. That's 855-212-4227. SiriusXM channel 206, radio.com, CBSSportsRadio.com, AM affiliates, FM affiliates, we're everywhere here across North America on CBS Sports Radio. So I'm going to try to do something here. Maybe this will suck. I don't know. But I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan. I got into the show a little bit late. I didn't watch it from day one. In fact, the first season, 2011, I want to say, started to pick up steam, and I tried that year to get into it, but I watched like one or two episodes, said I can't do the fantasy thing, and gave up on it. 2 or 3 years ago, and more than that now, probably more like 4 years ago, I binge-watched the first 6 seasons. Fell in love with the show, and now I'm dedicated to it. If you live in a cave or if you live under a rock, you might not know that there's only 2 episodes left in this award-winning, critically acclaimed, very popular, highly successful show. Tonight is the penultimate episode, and then next Sunday is the series finale. And what's happened in the last 2 years, season 7 and season 8, is that the show has just completely gone off the rails. And I watch it because I used to love it. I'm hoping that somehow there's a big payoff. It finds itself again. That there is going to be this big acme pinnacle, this huge climactic moment that restores my faith and confidence in the show. And frankly, last Sunday, I thought the show completely hit rock bottom. The show, that was Game of Thrones last Sunday, was the equivalent of what the Rockets did in games 5 and 6, where they had an opportunity to do something monumental and just gave it away, barfed it up. And that's really what this show has done. I cared immensely about it, and I've really reached a point now where Game of Thrones has drained and taken so much out of me that I'm not even sure I'm gonna care about what happens tonight and next week. That, like, my expectations are so low that I'm prepared for the worst. And if the best happens, I don't even know if it's going to hit me or if I'm going to find as much enjoyment out of it. So that's where I'm at with the TV show about dragons and political strife for thrones and, you know, dwarves and all kinds of stuff that, you know, if I told myself 10 years ago when I graduated from college that this was going to be the type of show I was into, I would have made fun of me. I would have laughed at myself. But here I am. It became a passion of mine, but I'm at a loss with the show. And honestly, that's the same way I feel. I thought about this today over my first cup of coffee when I was starting to look at the biggest stories in sports this weekend. I think I've reached that point with LeBron James. It's the same kind of effect where LeBron James, whether he's a guy you idolize, root for, cheer for, love, or you have enmity, hatred for whatever reason, strong dislike, root against him, no matter where you come down on the spectrum of feelings for LeBron James, he used to be somebody who we all cared about. When he left Cleveland to go to Miami, when he overcame the odds and beat the Warriors down 3-1 to win the championship, going to LA, teaming up with Magic Johnson, buying into that. You know, these are things that across sports were highly, were unbelievably gigantic events, seismic events in sports history, what he did. Every one of his moves amplified, magnified. Every little thing LeBron James said, did, huge bulletin news. Like, now that we're living in a world here where, you know, Tiger Woods at the time was completely out of sight, out of mind, LeBron James was the number one American athlete. Every little thing he did counted. But I was looking at this Lakers situation, and to me, it's just like Game of Thrones, is that the people that have written Game of Thrones here, because the books are out of the way, they're past the books, these guys are now pretty much left to their own devices to script the show, write the show, to come up with a happy ending or a conclusion or a captivating, entertaining, compelling end to the show. They have screwed it up so bad that I've stopped caring about how it ends. And it's the same way with LeBron in LA. It is now such a cluster there. There are so many different people with so many different agendas pulling in different directions that I'm apathetic towards it. Like any level of concern about like the way LeBron James's Lakers career, where is it going to go? You know, is he going to have a weird ending to his career, or really a sad ending where it's like a goodbye tour, or he's on mediocre to bad teams that struggle to even make the playoffs? You know, there's inner turmoil. You know, there's desperate moves where there's just bad free agent signings where they've got $35 million to burn and they've got to spend it, and the A-level free agents all say no, so they overpay for B-level guys. I mean, all these things to me are like in the Lakers' future. An owner, Jeannie Buss, who looks like she has no clue. She's counting on the wrong people. Like, are you kidding me? Phil Jackson, I don't care that you had a romantic relationship with the guy, or how many NBA championships he won on the sidelines. You're trusting Phil Jackson, who couldn't win 40 games in New York, to help you hire a coach? I mean, the Lakers are like the biggest brand in basketball. They're supposed to be above this. This is a once proud organization with the proudest player in the NBA. The proudest franchise with the best player. And they've managed to screw it up. They've managed to screw it up to the point where I'm thrilled that I'm not a Lakers fan, because it's much easier to wash your hands and move on from it. They hire like their fourth choice as coach. They hire a guy who they say the only way you'll get the job is if you take somebody with major baggage who crapped out as a head coach in his last stint in Milwaukee. If you take Jason Kidd as your right-hand man, a guy, the only reason why he's getting the job is because his name is Jason Kidd, and he's one of the best point guards in NBA history. If instead of Jason Kidd, if this guy had, I don't know, Raymond Felton's NBA career, there's no way the Lakers are bending over to put him on the staff. They're making an exception for a guy because he was an NBA great. He's a luminary. He's a legend in the game. His coaching acumen is awful. It's pathetic. You take Choice D as your coach. You're letting Phil Jackson help you hire him. For whatever reason, like the Rambis family has now like a position of power in the Lakers organization. Jeannie Buss will fire her own brother, but she'll let Kurt Rambis and his like wife like interview these candidates for the job. It's insane. It makes no sense. When this deal happened a year ago, I said the Lakers will win a championship. Mark my words. Magic might not be the smartest guy in the world, but he's savvy. He's got basketball sense. If he could get LeBron there, there's going to be a magnetic force that brings more free agents to LA that's going to make that the most desirable location on the NBA map. You love the Lakers to begin with. LA is desirable. LeBron and Magic, how could it go wrong? Magic quits so he can send out the most dull, boring, pointless tweets about like how many points a guy scored in a game last night. That's what he's doing with his free time. The only free agents they've attracted to LA so far are JaVale McGee, Tyson Chandler, and Stevenson. You're down to like Choice F as coach. I'm done. I'm done caring. It's a wasted emotion at this point. I don't see how they turn it around. I don't see a redemptive story. I don't see this as a plot twist. Sometimes you have to suffer and sit through things in hopes that there's a big payoff at the end. I don't see that at all. The owner's clueless. The people beneath her who are in charge of making the decisions have shown no ability to get it right. LeBron, it seems, and this is hard to believe, LeBron clearly has no say in what happens there. LeBron James, I thought, was like the most powerful man in basketball who could get any coach fired, could get any teammate traded, could attract any free agent. He didn't get his coach. The Lakers put a guy on the bench with a very questionable personal record and a terrible coaching record. A guy who's on his third job who failed in 2 years, the last place he was at. I mean, you can't make it up. It's a quagmire. And so at some point, you just say the heck with it, and you move on to the next thing. And thank God there are only two episodes of Game of Thrones left. And thank God that I'm not like living and dying with the Lakers right now. Because I thought with both, given the characters and the people that were involved and where they were in their careers and the urgency, LeBron's going to be 35. Game of Thrones is in its last season, 6 episodes left, that they were going to have to deliver and give you a wow and give you something that really left a big impression on you, and both have sucked. I don't see the Lakers getting better, and I don't see this TV show that I've poured my soul into getting any better either. And don't ask me now to tell you, is LeBron Jon Snow? Is Jeannie Buss Cersei? Is Kurt Rambis Varys? Is Phil Jackson Tyrion Lannister? And yes, I didn't think of those things on the fly. I was actually sitting at my desk coming up with those character comparisons this morning. That's how pathetic and depressing my life has become. Thank you. Now that I got that off my chest, maybe we could talk about other things. My goodness, are the Lakers a disgrace? They're ruining the golden goose, and I know he's in his 30s, but how did we get here with this TV show and this basketball team and this all-time athlete? Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. The Lakers are a disaster, just like my favorite TV show. Now that I've got that off my chest, coming up later this hour, I want to talk about a situation that is completely, right now in sports, off the grid, off the radar, but is a really important thing that we have to discuss. Stay tuned. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
CBS Sports Radio's number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Got some great news for you, people. Quick way you could save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I really think we're downplaying the extent to which LeBron James' basketball career has come crashing down because of his decision to go play for the Lakers. Think about what's happened in a year's time. LeBron went from taking a cast of misfits and no-names to an NBA Finals, eighth straight trip to the Finals. This year, his team won only 37 games. He played in just about every game. If you go and look at his resume, you see next to his name, 81 games, 82 games, 77 games, 82 games, 77 games. The guy never got injured until now. At 34, he misses 27 games. His initial foray into L.A., his first season there, they try to ad hoc a roster together. They give him JaVale McGee, Reggie Bullock, Rajon Rondo, Lance Stephenson, Michael Beasley, Mike Muscala, Tyson Chandler, all come in off the street. The idea is it's a one-year thing. All of these guys are on short-term contracts. Let's try to just be competitive this year. And then next year, we've got almost $40 million in cap space. We'll get a max player to come with LeBron James. It'll be easy. LeBron, the most powerful player in the sport. There's got to be somebody out there who would do anything to team up with this guy in L.A., no less. Instead, all you hear is that Durant doesn't want to play there. Kawhi might stay in Toronto. If he had a choice, he'd rather go to the Clippers than the Lakers. Kyrie maybe wants to play with LeBron, but right now, I wouldn't even want that. With Irving's attitude and the way the season just crumbled in Boston, it would make the Lakers better but not good enough. And, you know, that ended in divorce. I don't think it ever works to remarry the same person. I mean, how many times do we have any really obvious examples of, like, celebrities even, of divorcing and remarrying that person 10 years, 15 years down the road and it working out? Like, I don't really get that. Even in sports, you fire a coach, you bring him back. You let a player go, you bring him back. I mean, when does that work? So now Irving and LeBron, Kyrie didn't want to be in Cleveland because he didn't want to be Robin to LeBron's Batman. Now he's willing to do it in L.A. because they've buried the hatchet. I don't know. That seems really pathetic and desperate to do that. You would think the opportunity to coach, if not the best player in the world, one of the best players in the world, and a top five player at the very least in NBA history, would be enticing. And yet Monty Williams picked the Suns over the Lakers, go figure. Tyronn Lue thought that there were too many stipulations in the deal. Not enough years, not enough money, forcing coaches on him. He said no. I mean, you're getting into the bottom of the barrel. You don't, like, it should be a privilege to coach LeBron James. You shouldn't have to beg somebody to do it. You reach that point in this process. The guy who was supposed to be the architect of all this, or at least the face of it, Magic Johnson, just quit. It's an imbroglio. It's a complete mess. And I don't see how it gets better. What is the magic elixir? What is the magic potion, the silver bullet, so to speak, that fixes the Lakers this offseason? Does anybody see one? They're going to convince Kawhi to go there? Can Kawhi and LeBron play together? I was watching ESPN last night. Stephen A. Smith, who you take it for what it's worth, his opinions on things are questionable, like everybody's opinion. But I don't discount or discredit, I should say, his NBA sources. He says Jason Kidd will be the Lakers head coach in 2 years, which implies that Frank Vogel won't work. By then, LeBron will be 37 years old. I don't know, man. I mean, when LeBron went to LA, I didn't think this is the beginning of the end. This is where careers go to die. This is him, like, getting a retirement check from the Lakers. This isn't him going there to just be the face on a billboard or a guy whose name gets used to sell season tickets, to get television ratings up. Let's put the biggest celebrity, the biggest star in the city of stars. I didn't think that that's all we were going to get out of this. And if you think this is a pessimistic, glass completely empty take on the Lakers, well, convince me that I'm wrong. This could not have gone any worse. Where the Lakers have this too many cooks in the kitchen front office made up of people that in the positions that they're being asked to fill right now have never succeeded. Phil Jackson's not an executive. He's not a liaison. He's not somebody who you trust to help you sign the right player or bring in the right coach. Look at the coaches Phil Jackson has hired in his life. Jeff Hornacek, Derek Fisher. Look at his teams in New York. Look at Kurt Rambis's resume. Other than being a stooge on a coaching staff where he was an assistant coach, what has he done? It's like Lakers Rasputin. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't get it at all. But maybe you've got a more positive spin on it. Maybe you think that this was just a blip on the radar for LeBron James and he's going to get back to being, you know, the best player in basketball next year. I like Kurt Rambis, but I don't like him as the guy that like tells Jeannie Buss who to hire, who the right person and wrong person is for the job. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4227. I'm on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us at CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, something that I don't think has been discussed all weekend on this network. A surprise, a treat. Something from completely out of left field coming up next.
This is the Pony Express.
A bunch of ways you can listen to us. You can download the radio.com app today. It's free. Take us with you wherever you go. When I was in Italy, I listened. When I was in Canada for a bachelor party, I listened. And when you think you're in parts unknown, can't pick up a radio station, you're scanning the dial, man, hook up your phone to radio.com and stream us there for free. Just find CBS Sports Radio. Also, Sirius XM Channel 206, that's our new home on satellite radio. It's amazing since we've moved to satellite how many people who either tweet me or email me who've started listening to the show by satellite means, and I'm ecstatic that we've branched out and we've opened up the show to a whole new audience. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a quick story of something that happened where I live in Pittsburgh this week that if I wasn't watching this game, if I wasn't living here, I would have never heard about. And it really put into perspective what's happened with this sport for me, where it opened my eyes to something and crystallized this sport in a whole new way for me. So it's a very quick backstory. There's a Pirates-Rangers afternoon game in Pittsburgh earlier this week. Our radio station sent like an all-staff game where everybody got invited. We had tickets. Everybody from the radio station went to the game. So it was a big deal. And in this game, Joey Gallo hit a bomb, which he's wont to do. The guy is one of the most prolific power hitters in baseball. I didn't think of him as like a premier power hitter in baseball, but the numbers this year back it up. And in a startling way, the numbers for his career back that up even more. And so I'm at the game. This home run gets hit. And in the press box, the PA guy comes over the intercom system, the PA system, and says, with that home run by Joey Gallo, he becomes the first player in baseball history to reach 100 home runs before 100 singles. So more home runs than, you know, singles. Not base hits in total, but just he's hit more out of the park than kind of seeing eye, dying quails, bloopers. Which, okay, that's cool. That does say something about where baseball is going, that we're watching a sport where more and more emphasis is on drawing walks and hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And if you strike out 200 times like Gallo does, as long as you hit 40 to 50 home runs, you're good. Get on base, hit home runs. Don't, you know, bunt single or hit away from the shift or change your hitting approach with two strikes. None of that stuff. You know, things that fundamentally we were brought up on in baseball. The Rangers don't want Gallo doing any of that. Okay, so that there, it's kind of a quirky stat. It's kind of a cool thing, but it's not that big of a deal. 100 home runs before 100 singles. The next line blew me away. And again, this is something that I swear, 20 years ago, everybody would have known about this. The next thing the PA guy says is, quote, with that home run, Joey Gallo becomes the fastest player in American League history to 100 home runs. Now, I don't know. The American League has been around since what? The first decade of the 20th century? So we've got more than 100 years of American League baseball. And you know some of the names that have come through the American League. Mickey Mantle being one of them, for example. Think about all those great Yankee sluggers, Lou Gehrig. I know Babe Ruth started as a pitcher, but you can go on and on. Great players who came through the American freaking League. Ken Griffey Jr. started in the American League. Mark McGwire started in the American League and was a precocious power hitter from day one. Alex Rodriguez. I mean, you can go down the list. You can pick a decade and find a star player. Joey Gallo, who I don't think most casual sports fans could tell you who Joey Gallo is. If Joey Gallo walked into your office where you work, he might look like an athlete, but you wouldn't be able to recognize his face and say, oh yeah, you're that guy that's hitting a million home runs for the Texas Rangers. The American League has been littered with great all-time power hitters. And this guy, who is what, barely an all-star, barely on the grid, he's not a known commodity. The fastest player in American League history, not Texas Rangers history, not in the 21st century, in the entire history of the league, the fastest guy to do it. And I'm telling you right now, and I love baseball, if I was not at that game, that stat or that statistical achievement or that milestone achievement, that unbelievable feat, I wouldn't have heard of it. I would not know that. And that goes to show you, because I'm not a guy that can kind of, I don't know, take games off or vacation away from sports or stop caring about it. It's my job to stay informed and know what's going on. If I wasn't at that game, I would have never known that. And that tells you where baseball is at. That kind of career milestone, home runs, the play in baseball that gets the most attention, that means the most, for somebody to be on that kind of fast track and for it to go completely under the radar goes to show you that the numbers, the home run, has been largely ignored to the point where it's not what is bringing eyeballs or people to games anymore. Like, another thing about baseball, and I think more people might know this, we are on track for the sport, not one team, not one league. Baseball is on pace for more home runs than ever before this year, more than at any point in the steroid era, more than in 98, 99, 2000, 2001, the years that get attributed to unbelievable offensive production because the guys were juiced. They were freaks. They were roided out. They were putting chemicals and substances in their bodies to turn themselves into mutants, hulks. We're on pace for more home runs this year than back then. And again, that is largely ignored. And unlike the 90s, when the pursuit of the individual home run records, guys hitting 60-plus home runs, running down Ruth, running down Maris, when that, you know, brought people back to baseball, that kind of revitalization coming out of the strike brought America together, made baseball transformative, created legions of new fans, household names, McGuire, Bond, Sosa, Griffey. That the home runs that are being hit at a ridiculous pace now are having no such effect on baseball. Attendance is down again this year. It took a major step back in 2018. It's taken an even bigger step back this year. Local television ratings are fine. National television ratings stink. You know, it used to be on a Saturday, you could turn on a local station, Fox, now has the baseball rights. They've had it for, what, the last 20 years? Saturday, you could turn Fox on. You can get a Yankees game or a Dodgers game or a Cubs game. Now, in May, they won't put those games on because they know no one's going to watch. So they put them on cable. They're on, like, FS1. You never know what games are going to be on. They're completely random. Like, I think last night was, like, an Indians-A's game. I mean, who cares? You know, it's completely kind of brushed to the wayside. It's completely kind of off to the side. When we get deep, I'm sure on shows like this, maybe if there's a trade that moves the needle, we'll talk about. Maybe if something controversial happens in the playoffs, we'll talk about it. But for the most part, it's really hard to get everybody in on a baseball conversation and feel like you're not alienating or excluding somebody from the conversation, finding, you know, you're probably opening yourself up to a conversation where a big chunk of your audience doesn't even care, frankly. And that's where we're at. And it's so bizarre for me because my formative years of getting into baseball, again, a shout out to my mom, when as a single mother working two jobs, she would take us to things like the Hall of Fame and on trips down to New York to see Mets games. And, you know, she would cobble together enough time and enough money to make those things happen for me. You know, the home run was it. Griffey posters on my brother's wall, collectibles, baseball cards autographed by Maguire and Sosa, getting into that entire craze, that frenzy. And now you've got guys who, honestly, if you look at the home run totals, like what's Christian Yelich on pace for? 75 home runs? You don't hear a peep about that. You don't hear anything about it. It's not, in no way is that going to be something this summer, if he keeps it up, that I think creates a story that puts baseball back on the map entirely, where every night people are zoning in on or honing in on or paying complete attention to it. So I was blown away when I found out that Joey Gallo was the fastest player in American League history to 100 home runs. When you think about the context of that, the history of one league and all of the Hall of Famers and great power hitters that have come through it, in this guy, who is an above-average player at best, has gotten himself ahead of the pack to the point where he's in line to hit 600-plus home runs in his career if he keeps it up. Insane. All right, I want to thank all the moms out there again for listening. I know I've said it a million times today. It's the one time where, like, when I'm redundant or repeat myself on the show, I don't get angry at myself for the job I'm doing, because that's how much my mom means to me. And I hope today you're carving out some time, you're doing something that puts a smile on your mom's face, and then some. Don't forget it. They brought you into this world. They should mean everything to you. And if it's not your biological mom, whoever that surrogate mom was for you, that person who was there for you and was always in your corner, make sure you do something nice, some kind of meaningful gesture for that person today. It's only one day. Do something creative. Do something cool. Create a memory for someone who has been there for you through thick and thin. That's the only advice. I don't give advice a lot on this show, but that is one that I strongly and firmly believe in. And hopefully somebody is hearing this and it, you know, creates the initiative or the motivation for them to do something like that today. All right, on many of these same great stations, Jody McDonald is next. As always, you can go to cbssportsradio.com, find podcasts of this show, continue the conversation with me on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio and at my personal Twitter, The Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. Talk to you again in the same spot next week, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.